and welcome to the Laughing Place Podcast. This is the April 27th edition of the Laughing Place Podcast. So if you are tuned in for a different edition, you may want to press stop. Go to laughingplace.com/podcast and look for the right one. But this exciting week, I am joined by my lovely and talented wife, Rebecca.
Hey.
Captain John.
Ahoy, mateys.
Captain, I thought you were having some voice issues today.
Voice issues? I'm trying to. The show must go on. You know the term there.
What a trooper. And fanboy.
Go green team.
No, yellow. Green.
Green.
Yellow. I'm not green.
Wasn't Miley yellow on the green team?
Yes.
She is a star.
Yes, but yellow had Kyle Massey and Emily Osment.
But with green, more. You get double your pleasure because you get Miley Cyrus and Hannah Montana.
Oh, is that what
you know that Zach and Cody were on different teams?
Yes, I did.
That's so you could tell them apart. If they were both wearing the same shirt, that'd be...
And what team was Corbin Blue on? It's not a trick question.
He was on the blue team. And yes, if you don't know what we're talking about, well, join the club. Yeah. We'll get to it later.
Neither do we.
Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-718-9408. Let us know what you're thinking. But we're not going to waste much time with that today. We are going to get it right.
We're not going to waste much time with thinking today.
Why should today be like any other day?
Exactly.
Wah, wah. Okay. We've got some big news to talk about today in the city of Anaheim, which, I don't know, if it weren't for Disneyland, you'd think that city could really start to excel, but it feels like Disney's just holding them back, I guess. So what's going on over there, fanboy?
Well, in 1995, the city of Anaheim and Disney and others created the Anaheim Resort District with all its lovely palm trees and tile work. And that included some land that is on where the strawberry fields is over by Haster Street. And it's currently a mobile home park, but SunCal wants to turn it into some housing, including 10% low-income subsidized housing. So at first there was a vote. It deadlocked 2-2 in February. But Disney asked that one of the councilwomen be recused or abstain herself because of a potential conflict of interest. The California Fair Political Commission said that she could participate, so they reheard the issue on Tuesday night. And she decided to go with the dark side. And so they changed the zoning. It's not the end of the issue because they modified the zoning to the Anaheim Resort specific plan, but they still have to SunCal would still have to propose an actual project that would have to go before the city council as well. Also, if this SOAR ballot initiative, which the Anaheim Chamber of Commerce announced last night, as we're recording this Tuesday night, that they've gathered 20,000 signatures. So that will probably be on the February presidential primary ballot. And if that takes an effect before SunCal starts building, the plan is retroactive. The ballot measure is retroactive, so they would no longer be allowed to build there. So it's sort of like a race, who's going to build first or that kind of stuff.
So just to clarify, this SunCo wants to build housing. And
SunCal,
I'm sorry. And what does Disney want?
Disney is – they are looking for – they want a hotel condominium, which are one of those things that are sort of sprouting up here. They don't want the land per se. They just want to keep that land resort-specific. Mayor Kurt Pringle, who opposes the rezoning and is on Disney's side, says that not only has he heard of this proposal, but there's others people that want to build residential housing because of the greater land value in the Anaheim Resort. So I don't think it's as much about this plan, but as much as keeping the, saving the Anaheim Resort.
Because you're looking at a difference in the cost to the city of Anaheim. The opponents of this proposal will tell you that to create housing rather than to keep it tourism, you lose some of the tourists tax the system less than a resident would, as far as the demand on public works and that type of thing. And so therefore, I've read some people who feel that therefore it's better to keep it at a tourist zoning.
So this is basically but this is a zoning issue with Disney wanting one thing and Disney and other businesses wanting one thing, and what the who really is on the other side? Is it this other company, or is this more a political thing about making sure there's affordable housing in Anaheim?
Well, it's both. I mean, for the developer, he doesn't care about affordable housing. He's just doing that as a way to gain entry into the city. The ones that the supporters are saying it's about affordable housing, but this isn't meant to be an affordable housing project. It's not – this whole community is not going to be subsidized. It's just a certain percentage of it. So there's – I mean, it's both sides. You know, obviously, Disneyland wants to protect their tourist interest.
And it's not just Disneyland, though. I mean, there are others in the resort area.
Absolutely, but –
Disney's the loudest voice. Right. I mean, the most prominent voice.
It's the reason there's tourists at all in Anaheim. But, and I mean, you know, the bed tax, it, you know, comprises 50% of Anaheim's general fund. So that's half the police officers, half the road improvements, half of all of that. So there's that on that side. And there's other folks who are like, well, you know, housing's a problem. Disneyland has low-paid workers, and they need a place to live. So previously, Disneyland was required during the resort expansion era to build low-cost housings for their workers. They ended up paying a contingency fee at the request of the city of Anaheim to work on other projects. So that actually got put away. But now the developer's saying, well, Disney never followed through on their agreement, which the city of Anaheim is saying, well, they did because we changed the agreement and stuff like that. It's just a lot of political meandering.
A lot of politics.
And it's interesting that with the with this move, you hear of other moves that politicians are making to further, I don't know how to describe it other than I was just reading that there's one some group that wants to propose that Disney start having to pay admission tax, or that they want a heavier tax put upon the Disney resort, that they right. that they don't feel that Disney is contributing enough to the base of revenue for Anaheim, and so they want to see a small fee maybe be attached to each ticket that Disney sells right. that goes into the city of Anaheim's coffers.
Which I guess theme park tickets now aren't sales taxed in California.
Not in California,
but they are here. And
right.
I mean, why aren't they in California? Do you know?
I mean, just something they've never gone to bother with. I mean, and I don't think Disney would even have a big problem with adding this. I mean, obviously, if they would rather not, but if it was at a theme park, at a sales tax their tickets, or have this go on, they'd tax the tickets. Sure. I mean, you know, everyone in the Anaheim Resort actually paid they voted to tax themselves additionally to help keep up the Anaheim Resort with all, you know, its palm trees and banners and such. And that this property was originally not even going to be part of the Anaheim Resort, but the owner of the land sort of convinced them to include it. So it's a strange story.
It has to be somewhat frustrating as a business owner, though, if you've participated in this Anaheim Resort upkeep or transformation. Because I mean, I know like the Disneyland Hotel, they removed the big sign mm-hmm. and they, you know, totally changed the facade of the hotel, and a lot of the other little strip hotels along Harbor Boulevard there, you know, the signage changes and whatnot. I mean, these are investments that you're making in an overall vision, and so now to see that vision kind of shift. You know, that's gotta provide some frustration, because you would have made this investment with the belief of, you know, a certain vision in the future.
Mayor Kurt Brinkle pointed out that the city was really upset when they perceived the Angels to not agreeing to their part of the deal when they changed the name from the Anaheim Angels to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And he compared that to this, whereas the Anaheim Resort tenants or participants, whatever you want to call them, came and set part of the deal, and now the city wants to change the deal. And so he says, you know, why is it fair that we got upset when the Angels changed their deal, but we're changing mm-hmm. this deal on the Anaheim Resort?
So we can all blame Artie Moreno for the whole thing, because it all goes back to, maybe if he hadn't have done this, then they wouldn't be, you know, kind of slashing out at Disney. I like that. I'll blame Artie.
No, that's our team. I think if Walt Disney had it to do over again, he would have built a place big enough to hold all his dreams and avoided all of this stuff.
And then given part of it to the Four Seasons.
Fanboy wins.
Wow.
Yeah, we bow to the superiority of fanboy. And speaking of politics and Disney and councils and all that kind of thing, boy, there was a big story. I think it's a bell curve story. I mean, shot up and then just as quickly shot right back down.
It's an oldie but a goodie, though, too. I mean, this goes along the lines, the same length of the Pooh case. And I remember hearing this story the first time 10 years ago.
Who wants to give the nutshell story of this?
Oh, I can. Was it Monday morning that we first heard about this?
Yeah,
because it broke. I think it broke over the weekend. And while we were looking at headline roundup on Monday, we noticed a story from a Missouri news station, and it was I think it's Newton County. The commissioners there, they had received a business inquiry from a group, and the fictitious business information included the addresses of 500 South Buena Vista and Lake Buena Vista, Florida, in the request for the information. And so it began to spark interest. I guess it was a project that was a $1.1 billion location that would have restaurants, stages, I guess some theme park type attractions were also listed in this description. And it just really it kind of caught fire. And all of a sudden, there were rumors that Disney was going to Branson, although the funny thing to me was Branson is not in Newton County. Branson is 2.5 hours east of this area. This area is actually south of Joplin, Missouri, is where Newton County is. So it caught fire, and, well, you guys can take it from there.
And, well, it caught fire, and then what happened after that, fanboy?
Well, everyone realized it was bunk.
Shenanigans, I think, was the
word. I love that word, shenanigans.
Well, and the first clue was, I remember reading it and going, the theme park phase should be completed in 2009. I'm like, yeah, there's no way that's Disney. that may be a restroom, but...
maybe. Or a DVC sign.
Right. So knowing that DVC is the best-kept Disney secret, we all thought it was a little skeptical, especially since we've heard nothing. I mean, less than nothing. And we know that they're looking at international destinations, and we know they're also looking at these hotel things, but not a $1.1 billion theme park in the middle of Missouri. Bob Iger's been on record saying that, you know, they're probably not going to be building any traditional theme parks in North America anytime soon. So it came across like someone was trying to sell their land at a really buffo price and said, hey, you know, like, hey, when the Orlando Sentinel revealed that Walt Disney was the one buying up all that property in Florida, their prices skyrocketed, so let's try ours. So, like, now the attorney general's into this whole thing. It's really...
probably some 18-year-old kid writing something up on his...
Or maybe the person that was running to be mayor of New Orleans.
I remember that. That's the thing with the – took the pictures in New Orleans Square made to look like they were in New Orleans proper as opposed to Disneyland Resort.
But this did get us thinking. Where –
Oh, hey, before –
That's
before,
a dangerous pastime.
Before you go there, though, the one really kind of really odd thing about it – and I didn't know this. Jim Hill pointed it out in his article.
JimHillMedia.com.
Was that one of the names used in it was actually the first husband of Sharon Disney. Walt's oldest daughter or younger daughter. And so that just kind of adds that extra element of odd coincidence or, you know, was somebody just kind of a little off?
I for one, refuse to believe this is all shenanigans.
I know
there's
you,
something there.
Doobie totally thinks that this is just something that Disney royally screwed up. And now it's just deny, deny, deny.
It's coming. You just wait.
He believes in like 10 years we're going to find out.
Disney's Branson Adventure is coming in 2009. Mark my words. And Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor will never open. It's pretty good, too. But it got us thinking, where would be a good place for Disney to expand to? Now, as Fanboy over there said, they're not going to do another Disney World or probably even Disneyland Resort any place, but maybe something bigger than Disney Quest, but smaller than Disneyland. Where would be a good place for Disney to put something?
DCA.
And what might they put? Any thoughts on that, Fanboy? I know you have some because we've talked about
Katy, Texas.
You went there. You took a look, didn't you?
I did. They already have an AMC theater, so it's all set up for downtown Disney. And right outside Houston, the Houston airport has the people mover, so they're all set.
Do they have Jack Wagner's voice?
If not, we'll just have, welcome to Houston. We hope you enjoy your stay. And just take it from Orlando International Airport. But I'm all for that. I don't know what they would build there. Maybe
ski resort?
I'm all for the ski resort. Not in Katy, Texas. But they need to do a nice ski resort with a nice theater, some DVC units.
Some singing bears.
Jay Virgilio, stop listening now so when I take your job, I'll have something to, you know, have a career with. But, yeah, with, you know, singing bears, Maybe a carousel of progress, or you know, a lot of stuff people don't care about.
You really do think that would be a good idea?
I am all for the ski resort.
That's cool.
People laughed at me when I told them they should build a cruise line, but no. We persevered, and now we have two ships with two in the works.
Did you really have that idea?
Yes.
That was your idea?
Yes.
What about X Games Experience?
Yeah, let's not go there.
Okay. You got any thoughts on that, Rebecca? A good place to put something Disney?
I also think that Texas would be a great place to put something Disney, but I'm thinking more a Typhoon Lagoon or a Blizzard Beach type thing, but larger. Like, they're small here. They're small. The water parks here are rather small, and I think in part it's because there's so many other things to do here, so it's a nice diversion for part of your day. But I think if they did something on a larger scale, but yet have a fully themed water park, which is, you know, somewhat uncommon, at least in my experience, I think that'd be a fun thing. I think Texas would be a great place for it because of the weather. I always thought it was kind of strange when they were talking about building something in Virginia, and then again when they're talking about building something in Missouri, because the weather, I think, would play such a key factor there. But there are lots of theme parks that are seasonal. It's just not something I'm, you know, having never lived somewhere where they have winter, it's not something I really relate to. So I don't know how, you know, well that would do, but something like that could be fun, like Pennsylvania or something, historical based.
Maybe a chocolate theme?
No,
the historical park would be awesome. One to theme like around America.
That's what I would love to see them do that, though. I would love to see them do a proper American theme park. But I understand why it didn't happen in Manassas, Virginia. But
we should.
I wish it could happen someplace else.
Like DCA.
I disagree with what they said. It's another Texas for me. Seriously.
Seriously?
Yeah. Although Legoland is building in Kansas, so maybe Kansas is another, like, theme. Maybe it'll become the next theme park destination will be Kansas.
That'd be a good place to put a Wizard of Oz attraction.
Oh, you know who would love that?
Who?
Tony Baxter. Oh, isn't right. He the big Wizard yes. of Oz fan? Yes, that'd be is. Great.
They've been trying to for a while. There's been, like, theme park plans for forever on that. I'm not sure if they ever actually get permission to build there or not, but they keep on looking for places to do it.
With my family, we've visited this little place they've created in Kansas. It's supposed to be Dorothy's house, and they have a yellow brick road. It was a cute little adventure. I don't even remember where it was. We have friends in Wichita. It was somewhere near there. So, but, you know, that kind of stuff's fun.
Well, my initial thought, we're going to Williamsburg yep. later this year, and I thought the thought of a Disney theme park themed around that whole Williamsburg thing would have been a great idea. But as Fanboy mentioned, I think they thought of that already, and there was some opposition, to say the least, to it.
I think so.
Wasn't that more site-based than anything else, though?
Yes, but it was. I just think then it was a very if you read on Disney's America, I actually had a nice chat with Matt we met about it, because he was spearheading that project. And, you know, it wasn't going to be a traditional theme park. It was going to be a niche park. It was going to not operate year-round. It was going to be part... You were going to go to the park for 2 days or what have you, and there was going to be Disney bus tours that would take you to other historical sites. It was sort of like if Adventures by Disney and yeah. Discovery Cove had a baby, sort of the way okay. I felt about it.
It seems like... I mean, I wish it could have happened, but I understand it's very... Especially now, history is so different depending on who you talk to. I mean, political persuasion has really played a role, I think, in the way people discuss history. It would be a very difficult thing now.
Yeah, with the benefit of hindsight, I've got to believe that from that perspective anyway, Disney's happy that that did not happen, because no matter what you do, you're just going to get everything from that perspective is criticized to such an extent now
mm-hmm.
that no matter what they did, you think Song of the South causes an uproar. I mean, you just try portraying slavery the wrong way, or even worse, not portraying it at all.
Exactly.
And yeah. Don't want to go there.
Like on American Adventure when they say, you know, we were savagely attacked by the imperial nation of...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But think of it this way. Now at Epcot, they can't even, like, do the future without... They're either stuck with history or the future. It's the future is like Disney's thing. So it'd be cool to actually see them branch the other way.
Yeah, but it's hard.
But even then, like, they have troubles doing that already.
But if they should at some point build something around history, American history, I would like to see a Song of the South attraction. I think that could No, wait, Disney would never build an attraction based on that movie, would they? That's just too much controversy.
Not unless it was fun and you got very wet.
And everybody forgets.
As they say, you can't run away from trouble.
There ain't no place that far.
Speaking of trouble, let's go to Disney's California Adventure for our next topic.
That's cold. I noticed that on the list here, you don't even put DCA food and wine. You put Disneyland food and wine. You don't even give DCA its credit.
Well, the event itself is called Disney's California Food and Wine Weekends. So it's kind of like an amalgamation.
And that's what we're talking about next, because earlier this week I had the opportunity to talk to Jim Ames, who is the producer for
Disney's California Food and Wine Weekends.
And he's going to tell us a little bit about what's coming up over the next few weekends at Disney's California Adventure.
Presented by Vanity Fair Napkins.
Is that the same people that make the magazine?
No. No, napkins.
Are these like sanitary napkins?
I don't think they're sanitary napkins because I'm not quite sure what those are. But
no.
I think it's like, I got to imagine it has something to do with Georgia Pacific.
Yes.
And a high-end napkin.
Yes.
Like a couture.
Yeah, it's the couture napkin.
Tell us all about it, Jim.
This is the second annual Disney's California Food and Wine Weekends. It's every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from April 27th through May 20th at Disney's California Adventure Park and selected Disneyland hotel restaurants and the Napa Rose. We have we took the best of last year's festival, our inaugural festival, and have expanded on it this year. We've tripled the number of complimentary seminars and demonstrations we're doing, as well as concentrated on some of the winners from last year, like our Napa Rose Cooking School with Executive Chef Andrew Sutton, and our Celebrity Chef Dinners and our Winemaker Dinners. So we really listened to our guest feedback last year and decided, or didn't decide, but took the best and really expanded on them this year. So we're very excited that we're bringing this back for a second year, and we're looking forward to it.
And speaking of last year, what would you say was the what went over especially well last year, even maybe better than you expected?
Well, two things, actually. And the Napa Rose Cooking School last year far exceeded my expectations. Last year, it was the first event that was booked, and it was the first event that sold out. This year, it was the first event that booked, and 49 minutes after we went live, it was the first event that sold out. So I'm astounded at the success of this program. Chef Andy is amazing, and the ability to actually learn from one of the best in his home kitchen, not his home kitchen, but in the Napa Rose kitchen, is really an event that guests are excited about. And then one of our complimentary events, the culinary demonstrations that we did at the upper terrace of the Golden Vine Winery, by our second weekend, they were so popular we had to turn away 100% of our capacity at every event. And you know, no one ever wants to have to turn away guests. So this year we expanded the venue. So we're still at the terrace, but one of the guest comments that we heard most often was they really felt that there was a one-on-one connection with the chefs, and that they felt that, you know, it's a small group, it's less than 50, but they really felt the intimate atmosphere lend itself very well to this kind of demonstration. So rather than just book a big, huge room where we could fit as many people as we want, you know, as we could, we've taken and created smaller venues so we don't lose that personal touch that the guests liked so much last year. So we've expanded into the Pacific Wharf area. There's we've really revitalized this area. We have culinary demonstrations on the north side of Lucky Fortune Cookery. We have Junior Chef a little bit further under the boats, as we're referring to it. There's an arbor area. We have a tent that's going in right now at the Pacific Wharf stage, and that's where we'll be doing beer education and tasting seminars. And then we have our Taste of California Marketplace, which we're bringing back this year. So we've really branched out from the winery. That's still our hub, but we've taken over the wharf area and kind of made it our second area.
Beer education.
Woohoo!
And junior chef. Only at Disney's California.
But, you know, Walt wanted a place where parents and children could have fun together.
So cooking and beer.
And like Walt always said, what's a picnic without beer?
I agree.
Fanboy, did you get to go to Food and Wine at all last year?
No.
But I know that you are deeply, but I know that you have a tie to the food and beverage area of the Disneyland Resort, so surely you have some insight.
I think this is fantastic. I know it's one thing that Disney's California Adventure was made to do, and I'm sorry it took so long to get it going, but I'm glad it's here. And I'm enthusiastic about the response that's been getting. I mean, I've heard from other sources that the events are selling out while still having some events open so that people can participate. They have a special annual pass holder event called Taste.
Yeah.
And that's being held at, I think, whatever stage number it is now, but used to be the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Play It stage. And that's sort of a test run, and it could be – it's sort of their version of the Party of the Senses. And I've heard nothing but fantastic things from the folks involved in that. So I think it's great to see that coming. I was at the Disneyland Resort not too long ago, and I've heard guests still talking about it from last year. So I'm glad that it's back, and I hope it's back the year from now too.
DCA has a history of trying things like this in hopes of – well, forget in hopes of. It's a place designed for stuff like this, I think. I mean, it's got a lot of open spaces. It's not necessarily the most crowded place in the world, so you can design stuff that the locals can come as that being a destination without it really interfering with everything else. And they've tried it with, Rock in the Bay, X Games Experience.
Farmer Day.
Ag Day at Disneyland. Cal Ripken Day at DCA. And it's nice to see one. All of those, at best, were mixed successes.
ABC Primetime. Super Soap.
What's that? Would you say Primetime Preview was a success?
Well, I don't know what they were trying to get at. I know that the last year they did it, ABC had Desperate Housewives, they had Lost, and that was the end of it.
I mean, I realize that's both for DCA's sake and for ABC's sake. But just
that was more for ABC's sake.
Okay. And Super Soap?
That was supposed to be for DCA's sake. I think that's what actually contributed to its demise is – they couldn't figure out who was benefiting from this more, and so who was going to pay for it.
That's awesome. It's nice to see something that seems to be a true unqualified success at DCA, an event like this, Food and Wine, and hopefully it's a sign of things to come, because events like this are great for a locals park, which if DCA is going to be a success, it needs to be a locals park.
Well, that's why I'm glad they started selling annual passes again at DCA.
They stopped for a while.
Yes, they did.
Let's go back to 2001. What was it?
We don't need to discuss
January.
That. January. Let's just talk about the Food and Wine
2001.
Event. I actually
desperate
would like
times.
To try and go out there next year for this. It sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah. And I know that one of the things that was really special about the Disney Resort was their was the casts in foods for me. I mean,
definitely.
I always adored them. And so to see the Disneyland Resort chefs kind of receive billing, as it were, now, it's nice to see them have FaceTime, the chefs there, because usually, you know, they're behind the scenes. We don't really know who's creating these, you know, wonderful.
Well, we do.
Well, okay, but the average guest wouldn't know, you know, Chef Bill or Chef Ralph or, you know, the guys in the white coats who, you know, set the
cool
menu or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so to see that they're getting, you know, this opportunity to mingle with the guests, to share their culinary experiences, and yet it's going to have that Disney touch, that Disney magic, that Disney flavor. It's really neat. I love the events here that they have at Epcot, and my favorite part of it is going to the presentations by the chefs here. So to be able to have done that in Disneyland, where I had a deeper, you know, history with the area, would be fun. I'd love to go back there and give the Food and Wine event there a try.
You want to go to one of the Napa Rose cooking schools with Chef Andy in his own kitchen?
See, that's intimidating.
That is intimidating.
I mean, I'm glad there's people who want to do that to the point where it sold out in 40-something
minutes.
49 minutes. Jim must be so excited. We got to know him when he first transferred out there from – he was at Walt Disney World Resort. And then he came out there just before they started the pin dining stuff. And we met him at several of those events. And so he was another one of those where you could tell that he really had a passion for what he was doing and to meet people who are doing what they love to do. That's always awesome.
He has a history of creating great experiences.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. They're almost like events,
but
in and of itself.
Experiences, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sports, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. You run up to get Corbin Blue's autograph, and his handler says, no, no, he has to go.
But you can take pictures as he walks by.
She did say that. Disney Channel games are underway here at the Walt Disney World Resort at Disney's Wide World of Sports Complex.
Celebrating a decade of dreams.
And boy, did the girls go wild when Corbin came walking out of the dugout. I could not believe the screams coming from those little girls.
You would have thought it was Bart Simpson watching Krusty the Clown as excited as they were.
You stop. You are so mean with Corbin's hair.
I thought he was making a Universal crack because they announced this week that they're building a Simpsons ride.
No, he always compares Corbin's hair to Krusty the Clown.
That's just cool.
Why?
You should grow your hair out like that.
I'm working on it.
It's hip now.
It all started with Justin Guarini.
Oh, that's right.
So. Anyway, Disney Channel games.
Because when I think hip, I think Justin Guarini.
Rebecca, tell us, believe it or not, the vast majority of the people listening to us right now have no clue what the Disney Channel games are.
Isn't that funny? Well, this is the second year, and what they do is the stars of the Disney Channel are broken out into four teams. Well, this year it's four teams, red team, yellow team, blue team, green team. And they play in a variety of events such as extreme rock, paper, scissors, hamster wheel bowling. I think they have a dunk tank as part of the games. And this is shown during programming in the summer on Saturdays as interstitials throughout the summer months.
I believe it's pronounced interstitials.
Oh, fine. I like to say stitchels because of Stitch, and he was the first one to, you know, really do that for me. Okay, and so on from there. This year, however, it's grown. Last year, I guess it was filmed out in California, and it featured like 15 or so stars. This year, it features over 40 stars, and they've included cast from the Disney Channels internationally. So you have some from Japan, I know. I believe some South American nations are represented, as well as Australia. And so it's become an international phenomenon of the Disney World. It's so cool.
Phenomenon.
Anyway.
So we went, Doobie, Fanboy, and myself went on Wednesday.
Tuesday.
Oh, it was Tuesday, yeah. And caught some of the open first day of competition. And we saw extreme rock, paper, scissors.
Very cool.
What's so extreme about it?
Well, what they do is they have this giant inflatable ring and two pedestals that the celebrities stand on against each other. And then they do rock, paper, scissors. And if they come up with the same, if they are tied, they both throw the same rock, paper, or scissor, then they are given large, foamy jousting sticks that they pummel each other with until somebody falls off the pedestal.
Straight out of American Gladiators.
Yeah.
That sounds like quality entertainment.
So while we were there, we saw Miley Cyrus compete with Emily Osment, both from Hannah Montana. We saw Dylan and Cole Sprouse?
Yes.
Compete.
Zach and Cody.
There was Zach and Cody. And we saw Kyle Massey battling some guy who I don't remember.
Mitchell Musa from Disney's Hannah Montana.
Yeah, okay.
Hannah Montana. The Disney's is a given. We're not a Universal podcast.
It's still Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa at the Walt Disney World Resort, part of Walt Disney Parks and Resorts.
Copyright Disney Enterprises.
I think our little happy dog is sniffing
the microphone.
Oh,
how cute.
Yeah, so he might be participating in today's podcast.
Yes.
I just want to thank Rune Allridge for coming up with this concept.
Are they having a three-man booth? Or?
Well, my favorite part was when Billy Ray Cyrus came skiing down the outfield grass and then just tumbled when he was supposed to do the jump.
That's going to hurt him on Dancing with the Stars.
Now, he's supposed to be here for the closing ceremony concert, which that part sold out, the concert on Friday night. But the rest of this is open to the public, like 10 to 5,
and it's
10
empty.
to 7. And it's not a high capacity.
But you said Billy Ray is supposed to be here for closing?
Yeah, I heard he's supposed to be here Friday.
If he doesn't show up, he's going to break my heart.
It's like a race to get there. That was sad.
So, yeah. I'm trying to think who else we saw.
Well, the coolest part I thought was, they are on the field and the guests are in the stand. So it's not like you're mingling with them, but they do come over plenty. They also have to exit the field, and it's not very well attended. So if you've got a tween who's a big Disney Channel fan, and you go to this, you are going to get close to Disney stars. You're going to get pictures. You're going to get an autograph. It's a great experience in that way.
One thing I noticed is that watching the parents there, my mom never knew who Launchpad McQuack was or any of the folks from the 90s Mickey Mouse Club. Those parents...
They knew.
They're like, oh, it's Emily Osment from Disney's Hannah Montana, because they used Craig Burbage, and you're like, wow, that's impressive.
You know, your sister's that way too. I know you have two nieces who are junior high school age, right?
Yep.
And your sister surprised me when we were out there in California last month when they were talking about the Disney Channel stuff. She was tossing out names too. I mean, she knew what they were watching.
My sister's hit.
No, but that just surprised me. I'm not used to when I was little. I don't remember my parents did, but a lot of my friends' parents. I don't think they could have told you the names of the actors we were watching on TV.
My mom knew the Brady Bunch pretty well.
Okay.
Do.
And Gilligan's Island, which were the only two shows I watched growing up.
You have a Sherwood Schwartz thing going on.
Has there ever been a better show creator?
What's his name?
Steven Bochco?
No.
Norman Lear?
Did that thing with the Z and the one with the creepy kids that kept singing.
No.
Oh, Walt Disney.
No, I'm sorry. Walt Disney television stuff is...
Not for you.
Nowhere near dun-da-dun-da-dun-da.
Well, if only Bill Cotter was here.
Captain, what you got?
All right. Are you ready? Are you prepared?
For
the Captain's Challenge.
Who's got the medal?
I do.
Yay.
Fanboy brought his bling.
Yep. This is? This is the thrill of victory.
And you know what you're about to experience.
Frank Gifford?
Wow, that's a long time ABC reference.
All right. Okay, so on the last episode of our podcast, we talked about music that we did not like. And so I have and I mentioned Mulan as being music that I just, well, I do like one song from Mulan, and that's I'll Make a Man Out of You. Who sings the song?
Bing, Doobie. Bing, bing, bing.
Doobie?
Not Haley Joel Osment. Johnny Osment. Donny Osment.
I'll take that.
Johnny Bravo.
Give me the bleed.
And what's interesting is that was started a long line of successful Disney things for him. He played Gaston on Broadway and had a hit ABC show about dreams.
No, it was not a hit ABC show. That was embarrassing.
What was that show called? I can't remember. Living
the Great American Dream Vote.
Two episodes?
Yep.
That was bad.
You remember that was the show that reminded us of that moment, that great moment in ABC television when, was it Lloyd Braun stood up and said, we will not sink to the level.
Yeah, that would be Michael Eisner.
Oh, was Eisner? Who
I thought
that?
It was the Sweeney lady
it was
the or
ABC.
No,
no,
it was long before Ann Sweeney.
Really? Yeah. It was Michael himself, huh?
Stood up. It was when reality TV was really beginning to develop a stranglehold on television.
That's a good
Survivor
word for it.
and American Idol. And he was like, we will not sink to the level. And then they proceeded to come out with...
The chair.
Chair and Are You Hot Enough?
Are You Hot?
Are You Hot?
Or Hot or...
Hot or Not.
No. It's Are You Hot? Hot or Not was some website that I went to in my dorm room.
Right. You were a two on that.
On a good day.
Yeah, Are You Hot with Lorenzo Lamas and his...
Flaw detector.
His flaw detector laser pointer. Yeah, so ABC, I guess, did... Oh, and it was right after that, I think they announced The Bachelor as well.
Are so far sunk they need that lost submarine.
It's a shame that it's the pirate reality show is not ABC.
I know. I was really surprised. I have to admit, I was shocked. They're gonna have this show called it's about Buccaneers. Is it Are You a Buccaneer or Become
I'm not
a Buccaneer
entirely sure myself. I have.
It's another Mark Burnett, which maybe is why it's not on ABC. It's people living on a pirate ship and going through the Caribbean looking for treasure, and in essence, they're going to live as pirates for a few weeks.
That reminds me of one of my favorite jokes, but we won't go there.
Okay.
All right.
You got one for the fans.
Yes, we have one for the fans. Listeners. Yeah. You know, both. Yeah. All right, because we were talking about Disney Channel games earlier, when did the Disney Channel actually debut?
Fanboy.
I know the answer, but I can't tell it yet.
Okay.
Sure you do.
So you could give the answer at the end. How about that?
I will.
I was one of the first kids to get it in my school.
Do you know the actual date?
I believe so.
I know the first program was Video Killed the Radio Star.
there's that one anchor who wasn't on there anymore and would talk about how they're going to bring you the best in sports coverage. No, wait, that was the other network.
And then there was Julie. Wasn't her name Julie?
Oh, and she would keep trying to get me to subscribe.
Hi,
and I'm like,
hi, I'm Julie.
As a kid, I was like, is my cable box not smart enough to know I subscribe and I should not watch this anymore? Because they would do Disney Channel free preview, what, like 2 weeks out of the month?
Mm-hmm.
And in between the shows, they'd be like, hi, I want to say Susan.
I don't know.
And from the Disney Channel. And I'm standing by to take your order for the Disney Channel so you can have it afterwards. And you're like, okay. But of course, the secret is, as my grandfather taught me, you know, they would always show their good stuff during the free preview, which
right.
was like constantly. So he never subscribed and would just record everything. But me being a good Disney boy,
Did you ever send away for any Disney Channel stuff back in the day?
They used to have the Disney Channel magazine.
Yeah,
And inside, they would occasionally have coupons. And, like, mm-hmm. you would send away, and they would send you coupons for, get a fast pass to the Friendship Boat at Epcot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, yay! Too bad I'm not going to Disney World, but yay! I remember they did, they had a contest when it turned 10. So... I can't tell you what year. But and you could write in your dream, like your Disney wish. And they picked two. One was to ride in Air Force One, the
The hot air balloon.
The hot air balloon. And one was to ride in Mickey's limo, which I think is long gone. But
wow, wow.
And I remember I never entered because I kept thinking what would be the awesome, most awesome Disney dream. And I couldn't think of any. And that's why I'm impressed though Disney parks came up with a million.
I remember sending away for it was a vinyl like document holder, and it had the Disney Channel logo in the bottom corner, and it came and it got a stamp with the Disney Channel logo, which the old logo that was the TV monitor with the lines and the Mickey logo. And then when the all new Mickey Mouse Club started, I sent away to be a member. So I
did
got
that
the magazine
too. Watch.
And the watch and the card. I was a card carrying member. I still have that card.
And I remember I remember they would do those like
all
what was
this.
His name? Bergman? Eric Boardman.
Eric Boardman,
and he would go like, "What's the fastest attraction at Disney World?" And he'd be like, "I think it's the water mouse boats. I think it's Space Mountain. It's actually the monorail."
Yep.
And it's weird because Disney Channel is how I got exposed to all those classic Disney shorts, and they're not mm-hmm. aired anywhere now.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that's if there's going to be a generation gap. I know Disney Online is starting to stream them, so at least they're out there now. But
well, if you see Meet the Robinsons,
I can watch.
In 3D.
Because nothing like seeing Working for Peanuts is going to make me have a fondness for classic Disney animation.
As long as we're talking Disney Channel, I'm going to give my Disney Channel memories. I didn't become a Disney fan until 1995. We had the Disney Channel. I remember two things. I remember July 17th, 1995,
mm-hmm.
which was Disneyland's 40th birthday, and it was a whole day of Disneyland programming, including repeating the opening show
mm-hmm.
with Jim Cummings, Ronald Reagan, and Art Link.
Jim Cummings?
I don't think that's correct.
So.
Bob.
I was so close.
Yep. It wasn't Winnie the Pooh.
I was
it was
so close.
Bob Cummings.
Oh, Jim Cummings. He's done so many other Disney products. You know,
it's funny because now that Bob Cummings died, Jim Cummings does supply the voice for shows at the parks.
I don't even know why I tried. And then the other thing was Disney Inside Out. With Brianne Leary,
J.D.
Roth, and Big George Foreman.
But do you remember before
no,
before that?
I do not.
It's Scott Harriet, right?
Yes.
And that stupid, ugly couch.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And
that was a fun show.
He's like, where's the couch going to be next? I'm like, who cares?
You know, one of my earliest memories of when you and I were dating, Doobie, we were at Disneyland, and we were walking up Main Street, and J.D. Roth was walking out of the park down Main Street, and... you wave, hey, JD, and he says, hey, Doobie. I'm like, what on earth? Who are you, and how do you know JD Roth?
That is one of my great Disney memories. I just happened to meet him the day before and said I'm a big fan, and I'm a pretty memorable guy.
Yeah.
So he remembers.
It was a moment. You made an impression. So there you go.
Really? So, JD, if you're listening, The fact that you got Rebecca and I together makes up for unanimous. Unanimous.
Fantastic. You know,
hey,
I remember
we watched
when,
that only because it was JD's
yes,
product.
Yes, we did.
I remember when Rupert Murdoch said Fox was not going to sing.
That's a good one.
On all of this just stemming from a simple trivia question.
That's, Disney Channel's not even on the list.
I love the Disney Channel. I still love the Disney Channel. I don't watch it as much as I used to. You know, the thing that really surprises me about Disney right now is that they don't use their theme parks as a setting for anything. The 70s Mouse Club was filmed a lot of stuff at Disneyland, and it prompted our family to actually go to the theme park. I mean, granted, we lived in L.A. and could drive down, you know, and go for a couple hours. But I'm surprised that they don't have more stuff like that on the Disney Channel. The Travel Channel has, you know, tons of constantly reminding you of all that Disney has to offer. But it's just kind of, you know, strange to me that you don't see more of that. Even this Disney Channel Games that's going on right now, I mean, it's filmed at Disney's Wide World of Sports. I mean, and that's cool and fine and
not
dandy,
particularly recognizable.
But yeah, right. I'm surprised they don't, you know, feature maybe like a early morning marathon or, you know, just something where they're kind of running through the park in the early morning before it opens.
There was a publicity shot of Corbin Bleu jump roping with the Vituko-esque acrobats at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Was it really?
Yeah.
So you'll get stuff like that. Cool. You'll get stuff like that, but I don't know. I'm just really surprised that they don't, you know, take more advantage of the picturesque venues they have.
See, so many other sitcoms did it. Why don't they take their own shows to Disney World?
Hannah Montana should go to Walt Disney World.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, I mean, Disney Channel very much started with a lot of Disney people. I mean, Dick Cook went to the studios to work on Disney Channel in some year. And what happened was, is, you know, the marketplace changed. You know, there used to be three channels in one with the Dolts family. And but in any case, it transitioned itself to more of a Nickelodeon clone. I mean, in its own way, I'm not trying to disparage the Disney Channel at all. I think it's fantastic what they've done. But it's not run by Disney people. And I hesitate to say that because it's not – they take very much pride in what they do. And they have a specific culture, which is great. But they're not folks that used to work at the theme parks or – you know, used to go watch the Disney Channel that we watched. They tried for something new, and that's fantastic, but it's not Disney.
Right. Yeah, I'm just still surprised.
I don't watch Disney Channel all that much anymore, which is fine, but from those of you who do, I know back in the day, as Rebecca mentioned, it definitely was a showcase for the parks and not just its own. In a way, it kind of reminds me of, say, a Disney.com. On the one hand, it's promoting everything else. It's a promotional tool. But on the other hand, it's supposed to make money on its own. Where does the Disney Channel fall in that right now? I mean, do they still do a fair amount of park promotion and movie promotion?
They do, but not in program because there's no commercial advertising. And the shows are still filmed as 22-minute sitcoms. There's 8 minutes of pure promotional material. Now, some of that's to promote the Disney Channel and used for things like Disney Channel Games. But a lot of it's used. They have this it used to be Mike Super Search, and now it's called The Short Report that does Disney DVD and video stuff. There's Disney 411. Mm-hmm. Or no, it's not. Now it's called
Disney
365. I don't know,
movie
there's a story
surfers.
There.
I remember at the launching.
That used to actually be a full show, and then they
The movie surfers?
Yeah,
and now they do the interstitials.
So there are no actual shows now, though, that are anything but programming? There's no shows that promote, like, Movie Surfers used to, or Inside Out, or anything
no,
like that?
No, I wouldn't say in that specific way, but I know Disney Channel, especially Playhouse Disney, is used to create to reinforce brands in that this new Winnie the Pooh show and Mickey Mouse Clubhouse are specifically created to perpetuate those characters. So it's not just Disney Channel doing what it thinks is best for Disney Channel, but doing what's best for the entire organization.
See, and I miss Dateline Disney, and I wish there was a place for something like that on the Disney Channel. I understand that that fit more in with its model back when it was, as Fanboy was pointing out, three channels in one. But, you know, adults, family and children, but now it's not so much. But with the tween market, they do more, like, instead of Dateline Disney showing you the opening event at Expedition Everest like it might have back in, you know, when I first was watching Disney Channel, now it's, you know, Kyle Massey, you know, showing Kyle Massey riding Everest and, you know, talking about how much fun it was, showing the kids from High School Musical riding Everest. And, I mean, so they've still got that bit of park thing. I just, every once in a while, I wish there was just a little bit more to it.
And I think Disney.com is the place where you're going to go for what I was just watching something today about the submarine voyage, the Finding Nemo submarine voyage, which just reeked of old school Disney Channel. And you're like, okay, it's here now. I mean, and I remember Bob Iger 2 years ago in the shareholder meeting saying, you know, yeah, we're going to put classic animation up there, the Walt Disney stuff, and dang
now
it, he's right.
Now if I can only get it to stop crashing my computer.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's going to be in beta for about... Until that Branson, Missouri project.
I don't think I visit Disney.com the quarter of the time I did before this beta launch because of all the issues it creates
like
with my
Disney
computer. I had to uninstall Disney Link.
You mentioned like Kyle Massey at Expedition Everest. Remember when DCA opened and they had that special? I think it was on ABC.
Oh, that's right.
With Drew Carey and with Ryan Stiles.
Uh-huh.
And they were detectives going through DCA.
Different
Disney,
people.
Actually, Disneyland security hosts. And the security department found that.
It wasn't
so funny.
It wasn't. No, it was Colin Mochrie, Ryan Stiles, a grasshopper. Somebody played a grasshopper in A Bug's Life and some other guy that I'd never heard
of.
Yeah.
Drew wasn't in it.
Oh, Richard Kind.
Drew Carey wasn't in it.
Sorry.
It was close, so it had like half the Who's Line people in it. Okay. So.
Well, they were also in Drew Carey, so that's where he pulled Drew Carey from.
Yeah. Anyway, last week we talked about our favorite Disney songs, and of course that segued into our least favorite Disney songs, and we mentioned a few of ours, and we got some feedback on the boards. I wanted to read a little bit of that. How would you pronounce that name, Rebecca? Gutober?
Yeah, sure.
Gutober, G-U-T-O-B-R, wrote, Magic Journeys, Epcot's first 3D movie, horrible, horrible, horrible. And I know in addition to the attraction, he was talking about the song there. And then
I agree.
Magic.
We'll get back to that because that hurt. But this from a guy I consider a friend, Dave Was Blue.
Dave was a friend.
Yeah. Dave was our fiend. You got that right. Right. Anything in Pete's Dragon. Yawn. Now,
yawn.
Come on. Come on.
How can
we're
you
talking.
Say yawn?
Magic Journeys.
Bum, 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 bum.
And Candle in the Water.
I don't like Magic Journeys. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not a big fan of the song Magic
the
Journeys.
Song.
No.
I like Long Before the Old Model.
See, I don't have any feelings towards the attraction, for I never saw it. I only remember like the official album, where it was like the last track on it.
Oh, see, I thought Magic Journeys was far better in 3D use than the Michael Jackson thing was. So I was disappointed. I was disappointed in that transition.
I've never seen.
But I wasn't attached to the song.
I've never seen Magic Journeys. I've just heard stories about blowing those flowers.
Yeah,
but
the
song
dandelion.
Is awesome. It's such a
mood-making.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You like that kind of stuff.
Totally. Depeche Mode, that's my band.
Yeah, no, I'm not a big fan of haunting. But I don't understand Pete's Dragon, Razzle Dazzle Day.
As I posted on
very
Passamaquoddy.
Passamaquoddy.
How do you spell Passamaquoddy?
How can you not like Passamaquoddy?
As I posted on this board, on this topic, on the boards, when I call Rebecca's cell phone.
Yeah, it plays bo-bo-bo-bo. I love you too.
Yeah, Pete's Dragon and Candle on the Water.
Because I think that really defines our relationship. Pete's Dragon, Elliot, and a large, fictitious green thing flying around in the sky.
If that can disappear, it will.
With wings.
So. You know, when you call me, you know what plays?
What?
Something there. You want to tell the story?
No, we can save that one for another time.
Tell that
Thank
story.
You.
No, now I noticed
when you
have
call
one...
me, it's Chicken Dance.
it's better
dance.
Than Dancing Queen, which was it was.
Yeah, that's more appropriate, though.
And when they call me, it's, you know, pirate music.
When you call
when
me
you call
now,
us,
it's Dancing Queen.
Oh, see, when you
dancing
call me,
queen?
It's pirate music.
All right. Yeah, I could be
dancing
a Dancing
Queen.
Queen.
The ABBA cover band's coming back to Epcot.
Really? And when Fanboy calls me, it's the Spectrum song.
Yeah, then again, Ned, blue, blue, blue.
Yep.
Ah, another Fanboy voice.
Yep.
And then one of my all-time despised Disney songs is Portobello Road from Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Portobello Road.
And I wrote that on the boards. And Bobbly9 wrote, speaking of Portobello Road, Doobie, all those nationalities dancing and singing together, if it could only happen for real. We went to an outlet mall yesterday. When I saw the Waterford store, my married daughter and I both broke into Portobello Road. I've never seen Bedknobs and Broomsticks. What's he talking about?
Well, there you go.
I know. How can you not like a song when you don't even know what it's from?
It's the massively long dance sequence where, like, everybody, all the nationalities in the world come together and dance in the stores.
Really?
And
it's their Spoonful of Sugar.
So there's, like, happy people from, you know, we are the world kind of thing going on?
And aren't they all kind of poor? I mean,
yes.
It's kind of like a rundown.
It's if you went to the Osceola Flea Market and you started to do a song.
So if I saw... bread knobs and broomsticks, you think I'd have a higher opinion of this song?
No, because you'd be asleep by the time the song takes the screen.
And you'd wake up and you'd fall asleep again because the song is that long.
Is it?
You can't complain about Pirates 2 after seeing Bread Knobs and Broomsticks
Mary,
Portobello Road.
Mary Poppins is one of the five greatest movies ever made, perhaps. But if they could just cut about 12 minutes out of Steps in Time, it would be infinitely better.
Okay. But they need to cut Sister Suffragette.
That song is so well done.
No.
I am waiting for Mary Poppins to come and this woman singing, I don't care, where's Mary?
But it gets
even worse because the DVD has like the super extended cut with the footage that they found.
Really? The Roadshow edition.
So it means, like, it's double as long as you would have seen it otherwise.
I love that song. Steps in Time is way too long.
I was referring to a
Portobello Road.
Oh, I don't love that song. I thought you meant Sister Suffragette.
No, I wasn't talking about that.
No,
I'm sorry.
You said about Portobello Road. They have extended the footage in a special DVD release.
Okay. Yes.
So thank you all for that feedback. Thanks for sparking a little more song discussion. I'm going to try to watch Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
You have the DVD. It's sitting over there.
And then I'm going to try to make it all the way to Portobello Road, and maybe I'll feel differently. But I say Portobello Road, I think about having a burger.
And that's because you're a vegetarian.
Nothing else comes to mind. The instant I hear Portobello Road, I think about Carnation Restaurant,
when
they had that lovely Portobello sandwich red bell pepper and a piece of Swiss cheese.
If you could list the ingredients, then you really did like that.
He loved that burger.
And Angela Lansbury just does not come to mind. So
it was just a Portobello mushroom on a bun with the stuff he talked about.
You know what's interesting about Portobello Road? They filmed it. Where Jaws is at Universal Studios. So when you see Jaws coming up to you, just imagine Angela Lansbury walking down.
I heard that the road was actually always there.
Dude, you guys are so disturbed.
Old jokes never die.
So disturbed.
But they definitely should.
Disturbed.
There was another, what I found interesting, discussion going on our boards today, or the past week, so I thought I would steal this one. And the crew here could talk about it. It was talking about Disney attractions that either you won't do or for whatever reason you've never done. Rebecca, are there certain attractions that for one reason or another you simply ain't going to be doing, even if maybe you've done them before, but you're done. You're not doing that again. Or some that just through circumstance you haven't done before.
Mission Space Active Side.
I understand that.
I haven't done it, and after seeing what your face looked like when you came off of it, I won't be doing it. I can't imagine doing it.
The first time I rode Mission Space, I thought I was going to die. I screamed and nothing came out. I just knew I was going to have a heart attack. And I came off, Rebecca saw me, and my face, apparently, I'm a black guy if you didn't know this, but I wasn't that day.
Nope. He was pretty doggone ashen.
And I thought, okay, I've done this ride. I know what to expect. I know it's not nearly as bad as I had it in my head to be. I'm going to do it again. So, I don't know, a few weeks later, whatever, I went and did it again. Yeah, that may have been the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life.
No.
May have been.
So the time that you and I rode the green, the
that was my
soft
third time.
Side, that was your third time?
Yeah.
Okay, dude, and he was like freaking out with me.
Oh, yeah. I was when I went back the third time on the easy side, the green side or whatever, I had no qualms. It's like, there's no G's, there's no nothing. This is great. And as soon as I got in there, I realized maybe I've got claustrophobia and didn't know it.
So I started to worry like somebody had made a error or something that we were like on the, you know, super exciting side because I could see my husband sitting beside me like perspiration breaking out on the brow and everything. I love the simple side, whatever it's called.
From now on, it's just, what is it, Alpha and Omega or whatever. That's my
green
Titan and...
Yeah, you'll be doing the...
Triton and Orion. From now on, it's Triton and Orion while everyone else has their fun.
You'll just be doing the mission command at the end.
Are there any attractions that you just never got around to doing, either here or in California?
I can't think of anything. I'm sure as the discussion goes right now, I might come up with
have
it.
You been
I can't
to,
think of anything.
Have you been to Tom Sawyer Island in Florida?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I did it. We were there with a family of little girls, and the two youngest girls were too small to go on Splash Mountain, and you took the mom and the older sister, and you guys went to Splash Mountain, and I took the little girls, and we went to Tom Sawyer Island.
I've never been there.
Me either. Just never been there.
No, there's no particular reason. It's just like...
Anything else?
Tower of Terror.
Yeah, I know that. Have you done Splasher in Florida?
No, I did it in California.
With Doobie.
Oh, yeah. I was on Splash with you your first and last time. Right?
And last time.
We have a picture of your terrified face before we went down the drop.
Eyes are huge. like thoughts.
You were like six at the time.
No, he was younger than that.
No, because I met him when he was six.
He was younger than that.
Don't argue. She feeds us.
Are there any that...
Oh, you know, he would have turned six later that year.
Semantics.
Yeah, you say six, I say...
Tomato.
My name is... Now, Fanboy, you are a Disney completist. If it has Disney or Touchstone and it's not absolutely terrifying on the label, you will see it. If it's on ABC, you will watch it at least for 30 seconds.
Even if it is terrifying, like Notes from the Underbelly. I have done everything.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you really...
Let me think about that.
Does that count?
I've done everything
the,
that.
Does that count the international? Does that count the international parks?
I've done everything at the international parks that was open at the time I've done it.
You were there.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yes.
What do you really not want to do again?
Heimlich's choo choo train.
No, I like the choo choo train.
It's, you know, C H E W.
Seasons of the Vine.
Really? No, there's some people that really love that attraction, myself included.
It's nice and chilled in there.
I just feel like every time I go up there to go see it, I'm bothering the cast members because and that they don't quite remember how to turn it on. So I just skip the whole.
I hear it's very popular at the Food and Wine Weekend.
No, I think they like don't they do seminars in there? They don't even run.
Hey, does the Cinderella Mystery Tour still exist in Disneyland Tokyo?
No,
Tokyo Disney.
No.
I wanted to do that when I was there, but the people I was with said don't bother, so I didn't get to go on it. I had like a everything I rode that day. I had a 2.5 hour wait, so I only ended up going on like four attractions, but because we also went to a show and had lunch, and I really wanted to do that, and they're like no, don't go. But I wanted to because it was not, you know, at Disneyland, so I regret not kind of putting my foot down and being like, no, I will go. But they were paying, I mean, they wouldn't let me spend any money. They were so, I mean, they were wonderful hosts. They paid for everything for me, even though I came with money. So actually, when I left Japan, customs kind of looked at me funny because I left the country with more money than I came into the country with and lots of merchandise. And so they asked me what I was doing there. And so I just had to, I was visiting friends and they wouldn't let me pay for anything. And I was 18. I was 18 at the time. It was fun. But I wish I would have done that.
I think I've done everything at Disneyland that I can and I can do. There are certain rides that I simply can't do at the resort. But the one that I went the longest without doing was the canoes. I think I was with you the very first time I did the canoes. It took me a long, long time.
I love the canoes.
Because that's dumb. You don't go to the park just to work.
I love the
canoes.
That's
just stupid.
Really?
That whole no row, no go. Let's not go. That's fine with me.
I love the canoes.
And... there are a few rides that scare me, like Mission Space, and I won't do Mission Space. I literally think I might die on it, not because of Disney's fault, but I'm just going to scare myself to death.
Right.
But aside from that, I think the one that I just don't want to go on would be the Sunwheel at DCA.
Oh, that's right. You didn't do that.
I've been on that one time.
Oh, I wanted to do the moving one.
Oh, that's
see,
right.
I wanted to do the moving one. I never got to the moving one.
I never did the purple cards. We did the orange cards, right? I got that.
Yeah.
We did it one time. You're supposed to go around
twice.
We went around once, and I yelled through the gate, let
me
out
of
here. And I have not stepped foot on it since.
It was like that guy at the Haunted Mansion. Let me out of here. Let me out of here.
I did my best exitensia.
I've forgotten about that. But I know another one you won't go on.
What?
They spin high atop Tomorrowland.
Oh, no. Why would anyone want to go on that?
The rocket jets.
Rocket jets. He will
actually,
die.
Astro Orbiter.
You stood down. I went on them all by myself. And you stood down there and just laughed.
The last time I went on there, I thought, this is no big deal. It's not all that high. No, I was wrong.
Is this Disneyland or is this Magic Kingdom?
The old Disneyland. I don't even think I've ever done them here.
Yeah. No, you just waited
because
for me.
Because Disneyland, they're not up high anymore.
Yeah, I don't mind them at all now at Disneyland. Not a problem at all.
Yeah, and if we had if they still had a Skyway, you wouldn't be around that.
Actually, remember we went to Busch Gardens a couple years ago,
yeah,
and I did the Skyway there. I got over my Skyway fear.
Really?
I think I'd be okay.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
you didn't do the one at SeaWorld in San Diego, did you?
That's stupid.
That's terrifying.
Dude, that's like over water, and it's like 3 miles high.
It is.
That's on an airplane.
No,
terrifying.
I'm sorry. The scariest one is San Diego Zoo.
That is very true.
You
look below. Yeah, you look below. You see the lions getting hungry.
That one seems to be so tall. Oh my! In talking about attractions that you don't want to go on again, have you been walked off an attraction? I've never, ever been walked off an attraction.
I've been to a Disney theme park maybe 400,000 times in my life.
Yeah.
been on at least as many rides. Not once have I been walked off an attraction.
The closest I've come was a fire alarm at the Grand Californian Hotel. That's the closest I've come. Fanboy just whapped his hand on the table really hard. He's wincing in pain.
Give us a stats report. Give us a stats report.
I'm okay.
So 104? 104. What is it? 101 if it's down in California.
Fanboy is 105.
And 105 if it comes to a partial
reduced
capacity.
That's what you used to say about...
Those are the old radio codes.
Now, we were talking about
walking
getting...
off. I know you have.
I've been walked off of the TTA, a.k.a. the Magic Kingdom version of the People Mover.
That's cool.
Not particularly thrilling. I'd rather be, like, you know, walked off of something a little bit more elaborate, though, next time.
I get walked
like
off...
Like dinosaur. I'd want to get walked off a dinosaur.
That would be cool.
That'd be cool.
I get walked off the dumbest attractions, like...
the
got
TTA.
Walked out of the Hall of Presidents.
Okay, wait.
Wait, 1 second.
What? I guess Pierce had a problem, and so they had to stop the show midway through, and they're like, what?
The presidents were having a lunch break or something, and they weren't there.
The union break.
The second Grover Cleveland just went.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure. Pierce or Hyde. Buchanan, maybe. I forget which one it was, but.
Hyde?
I know. I didn't know we had a president.
President
named Hyde.
He was Secretary of State Jekyll's evil brother.
Seriously, so those are the ones you've been walked out of, like, theater?
The lamest, yeah. And what was... There was one other one that had a track, but I just... Oh, it was Snow White, and I got walked off from where, you know, the little mural is with the prince, Snow White and the prince together. Yeah, I got walked off that 3 feet.
Was it a better attraction when you got to really stand there and enjoy the ending?
Wait, which
yeah,
place was this?
I had to hide the apple. What?
Which one was this?
Disneyland.
Oh, okay.
And then my family, they got walked off Small World once. My whole family, mom, dad, brother, sister. And it was right as the parade was about to start. And apparently this was before Disney was terribly careful about show backstage. Their memory is that somebody was carrying a pole that, like, the heads of the seven dwarfs was on, like, being carried by them. I don't know exactly, you know, what they saw, but in their mind, that's what they saw.
Well, since cast members cannot afford housing anymore, they've resulted to some interesting culinary choices.
Oh, speaking of the seven dwarfs, do you remember that time that I have to use a wheelchair sometimes, and at Fantasmic
at MGM Studios, I was wheeling. If you use a wheelchair, then you want to go to the bottom. There's this way off on the side. There's this windy road you have to wheel down.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wheeling her down, and it was still daytime. You could see backstage at Fantasmic.
And you could see the Steamboat Willie boat.
You could see the little tugboat back there, Steamboat Willie.
Yep.
And
large,
there was...
clear garbage bags. It was a pair of shoes, a green outfit, and a dopey head. This big, clear trash bag just sitting
now,
there on the
You'd
boat.
Think at some point they would have learned black bag garbage bags. Because it was funny, when DCA opened and they started adding all those character entertainments, they didn't have any character storage locations. So throughout the park, you see these people with these huge black bags.
And
these little tiny people walking through the park and like... I don't think they let bags through that were that big. Oh. And then you would hear lessons, like stories about how they learned that the hard way that the Grand Californian can see inside the park even after the park is closed. So Mickey better be careful.
I remember watching the Main Street Electrical Parade rehearsals. They were practicing driving the parade floats. And so the Blue Fairy came, only it was just her dress, because that's the illuminated part. And so it was just the Blue Fairy dress driving down the parade corridor there.
At least in that case, no one thinks that's the real
no,
Blue
exactly,
Fairy.
No, exactly. But that's funny.
But yeah, we've seen rehearsals like that. I've been to Club 33 after hours, so they were doing a Fantasmic rehearsal. And we stayed in the Grand Californian. And I have, other than that Fantasmic, that's the closest I've seen to seeing some kind of untoward character thing. I mean, they take this stuff seriously.
Do you remember that time we were really creeped out waiting? We were sitting in Bugs Land and, like, what he was talking about, and just person after person. You first really, you know, a couple of very short people carrying these dark black bags would wheel by, and then a couple of very, very tall people would wheel by with these big black bags, and you just felt like, I don't know,
at an NFFC convention, there's a couple of them where Disney put on big presentations,
yeah,
and there are these people, and they're all kind of young, and they've got just a white T-shirt, and they're not even necessarily carrying their stuff, because I don't know if someone else takes care of it, but these young white T-shirt people all kind of congregate in a certain room, and then the next thing you know, the show starts, and that's what that was.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
It's cool, but I love how protective they are. I mean, and it's cool, and it's weird to talk about it. It's when we're at a theme park and people want to talk about this kind of stuff. You know, you talk in really hushed tones, or you don't even talk about it. You wait till you get home or whatever.
Maybe we should have had a disclaimer.
What I was thinking. I was like, maybe we should tell people.
Well,
turn the radio.
And it's interesting because I've been around Disney so long. When I describe someone's height, I don't go, "They were 6'5", 6'5", 6'8". They were goofy height, because it just I've been here too long.
That's funny. That's some funny stuff.
Captain, I think it's time for the answer.
All right. The question was, when did the Disney Channel debut?
April 18th, 1983 at 7 a.m.
That is very detailed and impressive.
On what channel?
Well, it was cable. It depended. On my cable system, 35, but...
Oh, dude, I think it was the same on mine in SoCal.
And I think it's still 35.
It was the first program. Was it Good Morning Mickey?
Oh, Good Morning
Mickey. I bet it would be on Wikipedia.
When I looked it up on the internet, that's what I saw.
Good Morning Mickey?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It is 35. That's really funny.
Yeah, so it's 35 here.
See, there's an answer to that.
So.
That's cool.
Oh, I've got a tidbit of pirate news.
Arr,
matey.
Scurvy. I mean, savvy.
Savvy. Scurvy works. Scurvy works.
Have your vitamin D.
Limey.
Take what you can.
Give nothing back.
All right, got your train.
I'm a pirate.
All right, at comingsoon.net, you could see a new featurette featuring Captain Jack Sparrow with At World's End footage. Apparently, there's going to be, between now and the movie's release, there's going to be a weekly update with such featurettes on other characters as well.
Cool. I can't wait for the monkey.
The monkey, yeah.
And to view him, he charges no fee.
His name is Jack.
Let's see the monkeys, and to view them, he charges no fee.
So generous.
Mm-hmm.
Aww,
that's a good
contraption.
Song.
That's a good song, yes, it is.
Contraption?
I was looking at Wikipedia and looking at the, you know, Disney Channel, and I was reminded of Contraption, the game show that was there when Disney Channel launched. Did you ever see it?
Never heard of it.
They would ask Disney-related trivia questions of these kids, and they were so simple, and yet the kids couldn't get them right, and I would yell at the TV, very frustrated. And by getting the question right, they would get these pieces that would be put together to create a contraption, which would then be operated in a race at the end of the show.
Kind of like remote control.
Oh, I didn't see Remote Control.
That was a great show.
Jimmy loved Remote Control.
Who hosted that? Jimmy Kimmel. No, Colin Quinn.
Oh, and Dumbo Circus and You and Me Kids.
Dumbo Circus. Didn't we
Pooh Corner?
One night when we were just researching stuff, didn't we find out that, like, Welcome to Pooh Corner was on for like 82 years or something?
We were very surprised to find out.
I remember watching it, and I wasn't around when the channel debuted, so that tells you something right there.
Tells you you're young. Before we close out this week's edition of the podcast, let's get some appropriate fanfare. Fanboy is going to announce his news. That has just been all the rage on the discussion board. I even got an email earlier. Has Fanboy announced his news yet? What is it?
I now have a blog on laughingplace.com.
That's your news?
Somebody's impressed. And I am no longer going to be called Fanboy. Now I'll be Disney's fanboy.
Where can the audience read your blog?
http://www.laughingplace.com/blogs /fanboy.
Cool. That's up already?
Yeah, and my best friend has a blog, too.
Who's that?
You.
I do.
Yes, you do.
How sweet.
And soon Rebecca will, and we'll be getting some more online pretty soon as well. So,
and if you send me rum, I'll write a blog.
Don't send them rum.
Yeah, please.
Or we're going to go to jail.
No, sending rum. No sending rum to the young man known as Captain John.
But we have added blogs to the site. We hope you enjoy them. But Fanboy is the first one to make any substantial posts. So.
And I'm sorry, they're not interesting.
No, they're...
Please, it's Fanboy.
Quantity is more important than quality.
Yeah. Isn't that what Walt Disney said? Quantity will out.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. But this will be fun. It'll be a chance to just chat about, you know, Disney stuff that happens. Like, I can talk about Welcome to Boo Corner.
Yeah.
You and me, kid.
It's nice to have a place to...
The 70s Mickey Mouse Club.
Talk about stuff without any regard for its import and without... And to actually give some opinions of our own, which we tend to stay away from on the site.
Yeah.
So hopefully it'll be fun. Check them out. Laughingplace.com/blogs is the main site, and then you will find links to all the rest. Podcast at laughingplace.com. Toll free, 866-718-9408, or post in the podcast section of the discussion boards, which more and more people are doing. We really appreciate all the feedback we've been getting lately, all the compliments, all the pats on the back. I can't tell you how good we are at this job.
Like that guy from San Jose. There's a guy from San Jose, and I feel bad because he really seemed to enjoy it, and I feel like maybe he needs to find something better to do because we're not that good.
We're not that good, but we really enjoy doing this.
But it's fun.
I'm good.
But we're having fun.
I'll state that right now.
We're having fun.
We're having fun.
It's nice to do something Disney-related that we have so much fun with.
Yeah,
as opposed to going to theme parks.
Believe it or not, yes. I mean, we love going to a theme park, but sometimes that's work. This is never work.
Yeah.
Podcastlaughplace.com, 866-718-9408.
This is a true perk.
It is.
A perk.
It's like an experience every week.
Anyone out there who has thought about having a podcast, you don't know how much fun this is. Do it. Even if no one listens, just the act of doing it, it's quite a bit of fun.
But don't do a Disney one.
Yeah,
we'll do a Disney one.
We'd love to hear more. More Disney
fan
voices.
It'll undoubtedly be better than this one.
Yeah,
more Disney fan voices are great.
And before we close this week's edition of the Laughing Place podcast, as always, we're going to go around our huge roundtable and get final words. This week, we're starting with Rebecca.
Go yellow, team. Yay, yellow, all the way. Yep.
Captain?
I already told you to send me rum, so, I mean, I've got my message out.
Don't send him
I've
rum.
Got my message out.
Don't send me rum.
You don't even drink rum.
I know, I prefer my... No, I don't even drink.
You like
you
chocolate
prefer,
milk.
Yeah, you prefer 0% alcohol.
Yeah, when we went on the cruise, he actually drank the ship out of chocolate milk.
That was funny. The last night he went to order chocolate milk and there was none left. Hey, when are we going on another cruise?
Fanboy?
Save our Anaheim resort and go green team.
And before I close, I wanted to say that last week, Fanboy and I saw Fracture, which I recently found out. Did you know this? What is Ryan Gosling, who's the star of Fracture? What's his Disney connection, fanboy?
He was on the Mickey Mouse Club in the 90s.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I can't believe you didn't tell me that at all. I would have seen the movie in a whole different light.
I can't believe you didn't know that when we went to go see the movie. I used to think you were a Disney fan.
This is very disappointing to learn that you didn't know that was Mickey Mouse Club,
hurts.
Dude.
This hurts.
Shocked.
Yeah. Why are you admitting this on a podcast for everybody to hear?
You know Britney Spears was a musketeer too, right?
All right, I'm going to go away, pull out my photo of Lisa Welchow, and sit down with my copy of Disney A to Z. We'll see you next week.